title of my workshop is How to Behave. I did get set up with this when I read my workshop assignment. I was petrified, and I did not know where to begin, how to begin, and most importantly, I didn't know why I was given this topic. I had been crying out to God for many years, asking for a more impactful personal relationship. Up until this point, I had exhausted my ability to mend the gap between myself and the Father. I had done everything I knew how to do as far as studying the Bible, going to church, committing myself, reading the Word, sharing the Word, sharing my testimony. I had fully exhausted my ability. So when I got this title for this workshop, I didn't know what to do, because I knew that this was going to require something I had not yet received. I knew that the behavioral side of this workshop wasn't an agenda that my fleshly man could accurately walk out, or even begin to describe how to walk out, because this workshop was talking about spiritual implications on changing your environment, going into situations where there's nothing there and causing life to grow, looking at an individual who has never seen or heard about the Father, but giving them hope and giving them the courage to ask and inquire. This Point of Hope team that God has put me with, like Nancy said, I learn from every single member from this team. Sarah Tarter, Nancy Haney, Debbie Andrews, everybody pour into my life consistently. So I did not want to let first my father down, all my instructors, my mom's down, and I didn't want to let my family down. So I started considering fasting. I didn't know really what fasting was all truly about yet, because I had never fully committed to it. I had done it once before, out of curiosity, lasted 12 hours in a day. That was it. This time, I really prayed about it. I talked to my mom about it, told her I was thinking about fasting for this workshop, because I don't know what else to do. I prayed and prayed, and finally, the first of the year came around, January 1st, and I felt the Holy Spirit gave me the okay. I kept praying to find out exactly the requirements that are going to go into this. You know, if he was giving me the okay, that means he had a plan in mind, he had a strategy in mind, and there were some rules I needed to follow that I didn't have yet. So I inquired, and finally he tapped me on the shoulder and told me, okay, gave me the day to start the fast. He told me the what I was going to do while I was fasting, where I was going to put my attention. And he told me to read the book of Isaiah from start to finish. Don't eat anything while you're fasting. You could drink water, and he said I could drink orange juice. But that was it. Once you finish the book of Isaiah, he said you could eat again. I said, okay. So I'm on night shift, so I was like, okay, when I go to work, I'll stay in my Bible and I'll pray. When I come home, I'll sleep because I'm going to be tired from working, so that works great. What I wasn't prepared for is my flesh. The Bible says that we are at intimacy with God, our flesh and our spirit man are working against each other. I started to study about why we fast. If I'm going to do this, I need to know why I'm doing it. Yes, I know I want a deeper connection with the Father and want to be able to hear him. But what does that mean for the flesh side of me? What does that mean for the Ben side? What is the Ben side going to be affected? How am I going to react to this? And the studies that I was doing, I found out that fasting quiets the flesh man. It makes our flesh come under subjection to the spirit, because eating, for instance, is a gratification to our flesh. Our bodies are hungry and it craves food. So we give in and give it what it needs. If I starve my flesh, it's going to get weak. The weaker my flesh gets, the stronger I can hear the Spirit of God in me. And that's what I needed. So once the fasting began, I said, okay, here we go. Let's knock this out. I started the first 3 hours, opened my Bible. I started reading the book of Isaiah. I'd heard about Isaiah. I knew he was a prophet. I'd heard teachings on Isaiah, but I never read Isaiah. I started reading it, and I didn't understand it. I did not understand it. And then for the first 3 hours, it was hard to focus on what I was reading and get a full meaning out of it. So I stopped, and I went upstairs in my job to a quiet place, and I started to pray. And I found that my prayers were focusing more on what I thought I wanted, what I thought I needed, what I thought I didn't have. I wasn't getting anywhere. Went back down and started to read the Bible again. And that's when the pain started. I got hungry. And normally when you get hungry, it's okay because you know you're going to eat, you know, when you get time or when you get home. I knew I wasn't going to get a chance to eat. So it seemed like the pain was worse because I knew I wasn't going to get a chance to eat. And it seemed like I couldn't focus on the Bible either because I was thinking about the pain of not eating. So I stopped again and went back up and tried to pray again. And I was walking around and I was praying and praying and still felt like I was missing something. So I went back down and started to read the Bible again. And then the pain started to affect my thinking. All I could think about was food. That's it. I wanted to eat something. Start thinking about all the times my wife made food, and I was like, I don't want that. I should have ate that then. I should have just ate it. I kept trying to focus on Isaiah, and I'm like, eventually I sat back, and I was like, God, what is the book of Isaiah even about? Because in the book, Isaiah, he's going to God's people and telling them what they were doing wrong, how they disappointed the Father, and what the provisions the Father had made for them, what they were in danger of the Father pulling from them, what they were in danger of the Father doing because of their actions. When everything finally began to change for me, I took another break on reading, went back up to the prayer closet, and this time, I remember when I was studying about fasting, one of the things that I had read that if you truly want to access God in prayer, you have to truly humble and submit yourself. And one of the ways to do that in prayer was to get on your face. So I went upstairs and I laid down on my face and I said, okay, I don't know what I'm supposed to be praying about because everything I prayed about for didn't seem to be working. I'm hungry and I need this to work. So I started praying. Actually, no. I asked the Holy Spirit to help me. That's what I did. I said, listen, the Bible says, when I don't know what to pray, you will pray on my behalf because you know the deep desires of my heart. That's what I need right now because I don't got anything. So I started speaking in tongues. The more I did it, something kicked on. The balance, something started to shift inside of me. I stopped thinking about the pain. And I felt this joy rise up. So I kept doing it. The more I did it, I felt a need from somebody else hit me. So I started praying for that person. And the more I prayed, the weaker my flesh got. But the stronger the prayer I was praying, I started to get stronger and stronger and stronger. I started to cry, but I wasn't crying for myself. I was crying for this person that was on my heart, and I was really starting to, it's like you're getting in a fight, and the person you're fighting is starting to hit, So you're starting to hit back. And then you all of a sudden realize, I got him. I got him. I can take him. So when that happened, I started pressing in more. I started rebuking stuff off this person. I started to pour blessings on him and declare for them what they were going to have, what was going to happen. I got back up. I said, okay, back to the Bible. And I started to read. I sat down, and at first the pain came back immediately, but stronger. Because I'm not praying now. I'm trying to read now. And then something happened. I started to read my Bible. Now, I'm reading slow. I'm reading maybe, let's say I'm in 51. Let's say I'm reading 1 through 3. That took me like half an hour. But when I was reading, time seemed to like stop. I put my head down. I started reading. I looked up. An hour had gone by. I was like, wow, really? So I grabbed my highlighter, and I just... Every time I read something that I thought was cool, honestly, that I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I highlighted it. Not full scripture. Sometimes just a word here or scripture there. Just, you know, okay. And the more I did this, the easier it got. Well, work was over, so I had to go home. I get home. My wife's like, okay, how you doing? I know you're fasting. You know, can I get you anything? I'm like, no, I'm just going to maintain, you know. And my kids are jumping around. And at first, it was okay. It wasn't that big a deal, you know. I went to sleep, got back up, and my wife makes this pork chop adobo. It's this Filipino dish, so good. And it was on the counter, and I was like, oh, yeah. No, I can't eat. Oh. I was like, you wouldn't make that now, wouldn't you? All right, well, went back to work. And it's like, once I got to work, it's like, that's when the battle started. When I was at home, I was like, that's my spot. But at work, it was just me. I got back to work, and I started pressing again. And I realized the more I focused on the word, and once my flesh realized it wasn't going to get its way, it started to get quiet. And my spirit started to become more alive. And the Bible started to talk back to me. I wasn't reading anymore. It was telling me things. It was showing me the compassion God had for his people. It was showing me what Isaiah gave up to do this for the Father. It was showing me the ability that the Holy Spirit had to guide all of this. And I was pressing in, I was reading, and I just got in this groove. And before you know it, 3 hours have gone by. And I go up to pray, and it was just, my spirit's gotten quieter and quieter. But my body's getting tireder and tireder. I went down to get back in the Bible 2 days in. I sat down and I fell asleep at work. Whoops. Next thing you know, I'm nodding myself. Oh, look at my coworker. Hey, I'm okay. I was resting my eyelids a little bit. Got back in the Word, start reading. Start pressing in some more. Went back up and started praying. I got in this good groove. And the pain, it was there, but it wasn't dominating anymore. I felt it, but it wasn't an issue because there was something else. The word was starting to sustain me in a way I never knew it could. I've heard stories about it, but I never really challenged that side of the Father to do so for me. So the Holy Spirit began to work with me on, now that I could hear him more clearly, on my behavior. He said, okay, 2 days in, second night, now let's talk. You asked Father for these things. You've asked me many times for revelation. If you want to be this man of God who changes circumstances, you're going to have to act. You're going to have to learn how to conduct yourself in a manner that inspires Jesus talk, let's say. In other words, if I walk in a room, because I'm there, the conversation shifts from, that was a good game, to, don't you go to church, right? Or, hey, man, I heard you pray. Can you talk to me for a second? Or, friend and a friend are disagreeing. I walk in a room and instantly peace happens. I didn't say anything. They just find a compromising conclusion to the disagreement. I said, okay, Holy Spirit, I don't know how to do that. He's like, I know you don't. It's not in you to do. I'm in you to do it through you. I learned about a conduit when I joined Point of Hope. Conduit, like Nancy says, you can't do it. We can't do it. But God in us does it through us. And the Holy Spirit began to show me that if I am in his word and I am about his word and I'm willing to walk his word out, then the things of the Father will surround me, and as I go, so too will the Father, and what he has, his will go with me. My third day of the fast, I was praying again, and by now, my flesh has given up. I'm hungry, but it's really, I could not eat now. It doesn't matter. I went upstairs to pray, and I'm almost done with the book of Isaiah. I'm not almost done. I'm like 45, but to me, it feels like I've been reading for a week. I go up, and I pray, and this time I pray, and I'm just slicing things up. It just feels like natural. I get up. I walk back downstairs and I hear a voice, and he says, hey, you did it. You made that breakthrough you were looking for. You can eat now. Now, the voice was very pleasing. It was very, sounded honest and comforting. And I was like, oh, you're right, I can, huh? I was like, wait a second, hold up. The Holy Spirit told me very specifically, I have to read the book of Isaiah and finish it before I can eat. So I was like, you know what? Thanks, but I'm talking audibly out loud now. I'm gonna finish the book of Isaiah just to be safe, you know? I'm just gonna finish it, you know, I can knock it out. So I go back and I start reading again. An hour later, the Holy Spirit brings to my recollection that story of the prophet who God sent to the town, and he told him not to eat or drink until he left the town. And after he delivered the word of God to the town, he went outside the town, took a break under a tree, and another prophet came to him and said, hey, come to my house and eat. And he said, no, God said I can't eat or drink until I leave. He's like, no, it's okay, I'm a prophet of God too. God spoke to me and said, you can. And so we went back to the prophet's house and ate, and as he was eating, the prophet said his doom. God said not to, and you did it anyway, so as you leave here, you're done. And as he left the prophet's house, a lion came and killed him. Yeah. Now, I mean, it's pretty graphic. When that hit me, I was like, are you serious? Because, you know, I've always asked, I want to be like the prophets of the past. I want to be like Moses and stuff. But when that happened, I'm like, Holy Spirit, were you really going to kill? Like, would I have really died if I would have ate a cracker or something? Like, would I have went home and hit a moose or something? Or a bear just woke up from hibernating and got real hungry? What would have happened to me? You know, but the fact that I was put in that situation and I'd been in the Word of God and I'd been listening to the Word of God, there was something else in me that said, you know what, let me just be obedient. After the fast, after I finished the book of Isaiah, the Holy Spirit said, okay, Now I want you to, this is what kind of got me. He said, I want you to go back through the book of Isaiah, and I want you to, everywhere you've highlighted, write it down. I'm like, okay. I highlight like 5 places. That shouldn't be hard at all. I remember while I was reading, highlighting just little things here and there. Well, I went back and started to do as instructed. 6 pages into it, I didn't realize the things that God brought back to my remembrance, that my spirit, unknowing of my flesh, was the work he was putting in. Remember, the Holy Spirit said he was going to cause himself in me to walk into a room, and not by me saying or doing, but my presence, because he's in me, people were going to change. Circumstances were going to change. attitudes were going to change. So he said, take that and understand this. You don't even know what you highlighted, but I highlighted it for you. So after I wrote everything down, he said, now I want you to go back and I want you to read in order everything you highlighted. Now, like I said before, some of these are one word, some of these are two words, some of these are entire chapters, not chapters, but verses. And so I went back and I read it, and you're going to have to suffer through this because I'm reading it to you. This is what he said to me. This is what he wanted me to know about his presence, about what he's doing now for us. Because guys, what we're in now is nothing like we've ever been in before. The truth that we are walking into now, we have to know that we know that we know without a shadow of a doubt that God is real. We have to know that no matter what happens, it's going to be okay and God's going to prevail. We have to know that if I go home, if I go home and for some weird reason happen to ding up both of my old brother's cars at the same time, before conference, God has a plan in there somewhere. That really happened, by the way. I don't even want to talk about it. It's horrible. I'm usually the responsible one. At the same time, I ding both of their cars. It's not fun. Okay. But in seriousness, we have to know that we know that we know what God's calling us to do. We have to believe. We have to believe beyond what we see. We have to believe beyond what the world's telling us. Our behavior has to echo the truth. And the truth has to be in us. Because until God says so, until God gives us that deliverance, that we might not be able to, I might not be able to take this to work very, especially where I work. I might not be able to take this anymore. I might not be able to wear my armed and dangerous shirt to work because there's a scripture on the back. So I have to have it in here. I have to know what is written in the Word of God. So when the time comes, I can pull it out. All right. This is what God said to me. I'm not going to read because he also had me, in every, like for instance, 51, it says, the Lord confronts Zion. He had me do that so I knew where I was. For you, I'm just going to read verse straight through, okay? Now, consider this before I read this. Consider you've just fasted. Consider you've just fasted. You've just been through, I don't know, some of you guys probably go for a week if you, I don't know. You've been through 3 days of no eating, no drinking, nothing, okay? You've just been tested and you passed, okay? You're done. So you're happy that you did what God told you to do. Now God's going back through, and for the first time, he had you do a physical act but had spiritual implications, and now you get to see what those spiritual implications were for the first time with your eyes. This is what God said to me. This is what he spoke to me. Here we go. Woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink. Who justifies the wicked for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous man? Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so the root will be as rottenness and their blossom will ascend like dust. Woe to those who decree unrighteous decrees. Therefore, the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious to you. And therefore, he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. But your eyes shall see your teachers. What do you think he's talking about with your teachers? Who did Jesus give us to teach us? Who did he, before he went home to be with the Father, to make a place for us, who did he leave behind? Who was going to come here? The Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Spirit teaches you into all truth. The Holy Spirit does that. And he's saying here, Ben, you'll see your teacher. You'll see him. You'll see him. You're going to see him. You're going to see him. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left, you will also defile the covering of your images of silver and the ornament of your molded images of gold. You will throw them away as unclean things. You will say to them, get away. To me, what he's telling me here is, I'm more precious than money. I'm more precious than jewels. There's no materialistic thing you can ever have on this earth that can equal me. And if you walk in me, when it comes to tempt you, it won't faze you, because your eyes will be focused on me. You'll know the difference. Then he will give the rain for your seed, with which you sow the ground, and bread of the increased of the earth. It will be fat and plentiful, and that day your cattle will feed in large pastures. Likewise, the oxen and the young donkeys that work the ground will eat curded fodder, which has been winnowed with the shovel and fan. But a generous man derives generous things, and by generosity he shall stand. I asked the Holy Spirit why he had me jump from verse to different chapter to verse. You know what he said? Just keep writing, is what he told me. So I just kept writing. He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppression, who gestures with his hands, refusing bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed, and shuts his eyes from seeing evil. He will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given him. His water will be sure. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. And the inhabitant will not say, I am sick. The people who dwell in it will be forgiven their iniquity. Now, is he talking about as we pass on, or is he talking about now? What's he talking about? Is he talking about here, or is he talking about in heaven? I believe he's talking about right now. Because we're going to have to be some God-walking, God-fearing people to change, to come up with what we're going to come up against. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? As his counselor has taught him. With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary? His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I, the Lord, am the first, and with the last I am he. But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. Those who contend with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Let them show their former things what they were. Indeed, you are nothing, and your work is nothing. He who chooses you as an abomination. I love when God reminds me personally how powerful he is. I love when I go to my mom and she has a word for me, or I go to her in complaints and she comes over the top and is like, I don't got time for it. go to my wife, and I don't got time for it. My brothers definitely don't want to hear it. So I go to God, and he's like, really? You know, no hugs or kisses, really? Okay. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things I declare before they spring forth, I tell you of them. The Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall cry out, yes, shout aloud. He shall prevail against his enemies. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. When I go to the Father with an issue, and he doesn't give me the eye contact because I'm being silly, what do you think he's thinking about? When I go to the Father, let's be honest about it. When I go to the Father with a problem, majority of the time, I only have the problem because I'm not seeing his perspective in the situation. Very, very rude on my part. So what do you think he's thinking about? You think he's criticizing me for the mistake I'm making or the fact that I can't see what he sees? Or is he patiently waiting on me to come around so he can show me? Because he knows as soon as he shows me, I have to go back down there anyway and make it right. Right? Put me in remembrance. Let us continue together. State your case that you may be acquitted. Your first father sinned, and your mediators have transgressed against me. Therefore, I will profane the princes of the sanctuary. I will give Jacob to the curse and Israel to reproaches. I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Those who make an image, all of them are useless. I loved that. When I read that, I loved it so much. God saying, anybody who has anything besides me, it's the most pointless thing they could possibly do. There is no power at all besides me. I am the one. I love that so much. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. I have sworn by myself. That's gangster. Come on. I sworn by myself? Like, yeah. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath. He shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. To him man shall come, and all shall be ashamed who are incensed against him. In the Lord all the descendants of Israel shall be justified and shall glory. Therefore, hear this now, you who are given to pleasures, who dwell securely, who say in your heart, I am, and there is no one else besides me. I shall not sit as a widow, nor shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to you. In a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood, they shall come upon you in their fullness because of the multitude of your sorcerers, for the great abundance of your enchantments. For you have trusted in your wickedness. You said, no one sees me. How many times has that been my justification for maybe, you know, not having that good conversation with my wife because, you know, it's just me and her. Nobody can see us, you know? I love when God points out emphatically, I see everything. I am everything. For I will contend with him who contends with you, and I will save your children. I will feed those who oppress you with their own flesh, and they shall be drunk with their own blood as with sweet wine. All flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. It seems like to me he's saying over and over and over and over again, no matter what you do, I am going to rescue you. I will be the one, me. I'm your Savior. I'm your Redeemer. I will forgive you of your sins. I will give you strength when you're weak. Anything you think you need, I've already provided. It seems like God's telling us, yeah, you're going to have to walk this out. But the trick is, I've already walked it out for you. All you have to do is come to me. Listen to me, you who know righteousness. You people in whose heart is my law, do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their insults. For the mouth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. But my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Yes, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So what is he saying right there? What is God saying? Consider that. I'm going to come back to that. Correct. Under the guidance and of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want to move into.
Amen. Under the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Is this not the fast that I have chosen? Ooh, almost done. To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." The mouth of the Lord has spoken. So, I was begging God for an audience. God looked in and said, okay. A couple years, 5 years ago, me and my wife were visiting her mother in Canada, Whitehorse, Canada. I had a vision at night. In the vision, I was suspended in this place with no doors, windows, no ground, no sky. It was just there. And there was a bed before me. And I was hovering in this place, kneeling on this bed, and I was praying. An angel appeared and it came towards me. And he said, "You're right. You are missing something. But there's nothing you can do to get it. God has to give it to you." And then he went away. That notion came to me earlier when I was thinking about God's apostles, how after Jesus ascended, they did a 360-degree turn. They were willing to die some horrendous deaths for the glory of God, to share the gospel of God. Stoned, boiled in oil, heads cut off, just for God's glory. And not one of them lifted up a sword or anything to fight back. When I was considering what they had that I didn't have, I was honest with myself. I said, listen, if somebody came at me with a bat, I would try to take it from them and hit them back. If somebody threw a rock at me in this moment, I would try to throw a rock back at them. Why would I stand and let them physically hurt me for no reason? And that's when the notion hit me. The disciples had something I ain't got. I don't have what they had in that moment. And so I've been pondering this. So a week later when I was in Canada, God said, you're right. They did have something you don't have, and there's nothing you can do to get it. I have to give it to you. After this fast, God's telling me, he just drops into my lap. So what is it? What is that one thing that I need so I know how to behave according to the Holy Spirit's guidance? So like you were saying, I can have the mind of Christ so I can raise the dead if God so chooses. So I can feed thousands of people if God so chooses. What is that secret that the Father has to give to me? What part do I play in receiving that secret? How much do we believe? Let's break it down. Let's go bare minimum. How much do we truly believe? How much do we believe? If you're on your way home right now, and there's an accident, and somebody's laying in a car, and there's no conscience. For some reason, there's no police there. You're the only one there, and they're dead. And God quickens to your heart. Put your hands on them because I want to touch them. What are you going to do? Honestly, what are you going to do? What if God tells you to go on that pond and walk across it? What are you going to do? I mean, let's be honest. Would you do it, or would you say, I can't swim and it's deep? And what would we do? Let's go smaller, okay? I've got a family. I've got a wife that we argue. You know, we're married. Let's be honest. So, let's be honest, all right? So, if we're in a disagreement, and God's trying to work something in me, but he's working on just me and not her, just me, and there's something that he's allowing to occur so he can stir something in me so I can have a new perspective, am I going to let the Holy Spirit speak to me in that moment and say, Benjamin, look again with my eyes? Or am I going to let my flesh say, no, but I'm right? What am I going to do? How much do I truly believe in God? How much do I truly want to learn how to behave according to how Jesus behaved? Because what did Jesus do? How many times was he misused and his name misused and beaten? And how many times they tried to kill him? What did he do, though? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. The Bible talks about the man that Jesus raised from Lazarus. Okay, the Bible talks about Jesus' relationship with that family. Do you know they were really close? Really close. When they came to Jesus and said, Lazarus is sick, you know he waited 4 days? He didn't go right away. Do you know that? And then Lazarus' sister was mad at Jesus, said, if you would have came earlier, he wouldn't have died. How do you think he felt? He knew the Father's plan, but how do you think he felt? Because the Bible said he experienced everything we experience. So what did he do? Did he say, you don't know what you're talking about? My father said this. No, he didn't defend himself. He wept. The Bible said he wept. He mourned. And then he went about his father's business and raised Lazarus from the dead. But he acted according to the Holy Spirit's guidance in that moment. What are we going to do? Because if we can't get the small things in order, if we can't fix our homes, our relationship with our kids, our friends, our marriage partners, I can't think of it right now, wives, husbands, that thing, How can God use me to go walk across water, raise somebody from the dead? If I can't listen to the Holy Spirit in the teeny tiny little things, if I can't fast for 3 days and continue on his order that he gave me to hold on, how is he going to use me for anything else? These workshop topics are terrifying for me, I'll be honest. Every time I get a topic, I'm scared because God's putting his order in me. I have to talk to God's people. He loves you guys so passionately. So passionately. And I'm responsible to making sure I hear clearly from the Father. I'm responsible to tell the truth, even if it's going to make me look like an idiot. That's what I have to do. Because it's not about me. It's about God talking to you. And what God has been talking to me about and really instilling in me is your behavior. If I'm going to give you that secret, you're going to have to behave 100%, 24/7, all the time with everybody. Your wife, your brothers, parents, your friends, your coworkers, your enemies, those that hate you for hate's sake. You're going to have to behave like me all the time. Can you do it? The beginning for me was learning that I could take an active responsibility in quieting my flesh. I could tell my flesh no, and it had to listen to me. I didn't know that. I thought the fast was just going to be I was going to fast, not eat, and I was going to have some divine revelation. I was like, hey, guess what? That's not what happened. I had to tell my flesh what to do, and it had to listen because it wasn't me, it was the Spirit. I didn't know that. So my flesh had to behave according to the Holy Spirit in me. So for me, I'm taking that lesson, and I'm going to use it to the next step God has for me. The next conference, or the next disagreement me and my wife have. Happens a lot. Happens a lot. God bless her heart. Don't they? It's funny, because every time I come to conference, if we get a disagreement, whether I'm at conference or before I get here, and I see the team from Point to Hope, you guys have no idea. I'll see Debbie or Sarah or Nancy, and just their faces. We're standing next to them. My perspective back home about the argument I just had is non-void. It does not matter. It's irrelevant. And I need to call my wife as soon as possible and say I'm sorry. I don't know why that is. But when I get here around God's people, the behavior that they carry with them, what God's teaching me because I get to walk here in his presence with his chosen people, it's mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm. It's, we as believers have this sin nature within us, so we're going to call that the black dog. And we also have the Holy Spirit within us, so we're going to call that the white dog.
Okay.
So we have our new nature, we have our sin nature. Whichever one we want to prevail in our life and win the war on a daily basis, it will win if we feed it. So the more we feed the flesh, the more that's going to win in that particular struggle area. But the more, let's just say on the positive side, the more we feed our spirit, we are strengthening our spirit man to be able to prevail in those conflicts or temptations or whatever it is. So I thought it was very well put.
Amen. Yeah. Yes. The last thing, the other thing that I wanted to briefly talk about is the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is my best friend. He's come to bat for me and done more things for me I can't even explain. The one thing through this workshop topic that he really put before me and put on my heart to really press into God for is how he was going to respond to the things I pray about. How he was going to answer the things I needed. Remember in there it says, God says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. That is so emphatic to how the Holy Spirit does what he does in us, for us. Through this fast, he was telling me, you have to completely wipe away my responses in your perspective. I'm never going to respond to your situation the way you think I'm going to. Matter of fact, you need to learn how to pray about your situation correctly so I can respond. Because the Holy Spirit has a different agenda than we do. If, for an example, let's say I'm a farmer. I'm on a farm, a pig farm. The pigs are put away for the night. They're in the barn or wherever pigs go. And there's their pen, okay? And I'm walking at my farm, and let's say I have a friend over who falls in the pig pen in the mud, in the poop, and stinky. And I'm standing there, watch him fall. And he starts crying out for me to help him. And I'm like, just stand up. Just get up. But he keeps crying out for me to help him. And the only way I can help him is get down in the mud with him. That's all I can do. So I do it. I get down in the mud, and he's panicking, so he grabs me, and I get all muddy with him, pick him up, and we stand up together. And we climb out. He thanks me for it. Sometimes in life, the Holy Spirit is going to cause me to get in the mud with people. Not because I've done anything wrong, because some people need to see a man of God get up. They need to see what the Holy Spirit can do through a simple man of God, through somebody who just loves God with no special skills, and that's me. No special skills. Sometimes God's going to cause things in our lives to occur for somebody else's sake. We can't take that stuff for granted. That's why the Bible says, praise God in all things, because you never know what God's doing. Sometimes God will take something dear from you for his sake, because he needs to see what you're going to do without it. And when you get up and praise God anyway, when you get up and thank God anyway, he's going to say, wow, okay, I can do that too. If he can do it, I can do it. And then because you did it, they want to know what you have to do it. How'd you do that? What'd you do? Where did that come from? Yes.
When he was talking about what we do, courage. And that was basically that the main thing is that we don't have the courage. We need the courage to be humble, the courage to submit, the courage to trust, the courage to believe, the courage to be obedient.
Amen. 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 I'm not going to tell you what he told me, the thing was he gave to me so I can get what he's going to give me, because that's mine. But what I am saying is, what's it for you? What's God got for you? What's that thing you're missing that only God can give you, the man can't give you, no matter how much you work, or what is it? I know that my Father loves me so dearly, and he's never going to lead me astray. He's never going to forsake me. He's always going to make sure I have what I need for his glory's sake. Because that's my goal in life. I want to bring God glory. That's what I want to do. That's my job. And I am passionate about it. So he's always going to make sure I have whatever I need to do that. So what are you needing to ask God for? Make up your mind. Find out what you really want. What do you want? Ask yourself, what do I want? What do you want? Because if you want to truly behave according to how Jesus behaved, according to the Holy Spirit's word, you have to know what you're fighting for. If you go just on your memorization and you have no idea why you memorized it and you get in a fight, it's not going to stand up. Know what you're doing. Know why you're doing it. I love God with everything I have. And he loves me just because he wants to. And that's awesome to me. That's really all I got. I was just going to stand here for a couple minutes and look off into space, but I decided not to do that. But I really thank you guys for coming, and I'm encouraged by just this whole weekend. I mean, you guys have been such a blessing to me, and I just really appreciate all you guys coming. And thanks for the input. That was awesome. I've never had input before. That was great. That was great. That was great. Yes.
Right.